Matthew chapter 24. This morning we're going to be focusing from verses 32 to 51. And within this section there is an encouragement for all to be prepared spiritually, to be watchful, and to be found faithful in light of our Lord's return. Note here in verses 32 and 33 of Matthew chapter 24, verse number 32 and 33, it reads, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." Let's bow for prayer. O God, we do pray that we would certainly consider our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, this morning. We're thankful for the hope of his soon return. And Lord, I pray that you might encourage us to be well prepared, to be watchful, and to be found faithful in light of thy return. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. In verse number 1, 2 and 3 of this wonderful chapter, the disciples asked our Lord a number of questions. The last two questions dealt with the issue of the Lord's return specifically, and also dealt with the issue of the signs of the end of the world. And then from verses 4 all the way through to verse number 26, the Lord Jesus gives us some insight concerning a time of judgment. And this time of judgment will climax with the return of Jesus Christ to the earth. And it's important that we understand the chronology of this chapter and the fact that these judgments, the events of judgment, come before the coming of Christ to the earth with the saints. And the question is asked, well, these judgments, when will they take place? These judgments that are mentioned here within this passage of Scripture. The mention of deception, the mention of wars, rumours of wars, the mention of famine, pestilence, earthquakes, persecution, martyrdom. When will these events take place? Have they already taken place? Well, the key to unlocking this, the answer to this question is found in verse number 15, when the Lord Jesus made it very clear that these events, these judgments that are referred to here, were spoken of by Daniel the prophet. And if you go back to Daniel chapter 9, please, Daniel chapter 9, verse number 27, verses 24 to 27, the Bible gives us an amazing prophecy concerning the nation of Israel. In verse 24, the beginning of that verse, it reads, 70 weeks or 70 sevens are determined upon thy people, the nation of Israel. And note then, verse 27, it reads, "And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cease the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation. And that determined shall pour upon the desolate." So here in verse number 27, it makes reference to a week or a period of 7 years. And the Lord Jesus, back in Matthew chapter 24, affirms the fact that these judgments that are mentioned here in Matthew chapter 24 are within the context of those 7 years. And it's important that we understand that these events that come before our Lord's second coming, the events mentioned from verses 4 to 26, involve a future generation that will experience 7 years of judgment, known as the tribulation period. And this is affirmed by the Lord Jesus himself, who points us back to that passage there in Daniel chapter 9, that period of time, that week, that period of 7 years that God will climax his dealings with the people of God. And this seven-year period of time, known as the tribulation period, is primarily focused upon the nation of Israel, where God will conclude his dealings with the nation. And back in Daniel chapter 9, God tells us there are 70 times 7, 490 years determined to conclude my dealings with my people, said the Lord. And thus far, 483 years of that prophecy has been fulfilled. From the very time that King Artaxerxes, the Persian king, gave the mandate for God's people to go back to Jerusalem, rebuild the wall and rebuild the city, that commission, that authority was given on the 14th of March, 445 BC. And to the very day that our Lord Jesus rode upon a donkey into Jerusalem, presenting himself as the Messiah, a direct fulfillment of the book of Zechariah, where God said to his people that your Messiah will come lowly, sitting upon an ass. That was the 6th of April, AD 32. And between those dates, there is a exact total of 483 years, 173,880 days exact. So 483 years of Bible prophecy concerning God's people have been fulfilled to the very letter. There are 7 years to come where God will complete his dealings with the nation of Israel primarily. And this is what our Lord Jesus made reference to here in Matthew chapter 24. And he divides this period of time, this week, this 7 year period into two parts. The first 3.5 years, it's referred to as the beginning of sorrows, the birth pains, the initial labor pains. And then from the middle time to the very end of that tribulation period, it's referred to as the Great Tribulation. Because back in Daniel chapter 9, the Bible teaches us that in the middle of this tribulation period, the Antichrist, the beast, the world leader, dictator, will move into the Jewish temple, and he will set up an image of himself, and he will demand worship. He will demand personal worship as the God of gods. And that peace treaty will be broken. A peace treaty that was signed with the nation of Israel, guaranteeing peace for 7 years, will be broken. And then literally all hell will break loose, so to speak. And God's people will be persecuted as never before. And this is what our Lord Jesus was referring to. And then spirit of judgment will climax with the coming of Jesus Christ, when Jesus Christ will return to the earth with the saints. And as I've mentioned previously, in order for Jesus Christ to return
with the saints need to be with him. So this period of judgment known as the tribulation period, the time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible teaches, is called. It doesn't involve the church of Jesus Christ. It doesn't involve you and I that are in Christ. And it's very, very important that we understand that, that this last 7 years of which God will conclude his dealings with the nation of Israel does not involve you and I that are in Christ Jesus. In fact, the Bible teaches us that we will be taken from the earth before the beginning of this judgment period. Please turn with me to... let's go to John. John 14. Let's start there. John chapter 14. Note there in the third verse it reads... John chapter 14, verse number 3. Our Lord Jesus said, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again." And note this little phrase, "and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." So Jesus Christ said, "I will come again. I go, but I'm coming again. And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, you will be also." Now go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Note then verses 51 and 52. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." That's in reference to physical death for the child of God. And by the way, you're not to be falling asleep in the house of God this morning. We should not all sleep in church. But the Bible says we shall not all sleep. Not every child of God will die. That the Bible teaches us, but we shall all be changed. Not every child of God will die before the Lord Jesus comes back, but rest assured, we shall all be changed. Note then verse 52. "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, and the dead," those that have died, those Christians that have died, "shall be raised incorruptible." They will be changed. "And then we which are alive, and we shall be changed." Now go to 1 Thessalonians, please, chapter 4. So in Matthew chapter 24, the Lord Jesus made reference to a time of judgment that will precede the second coming of Christ, where Christ will come to the earth with the saints. So in order for you and I to come back with the saints, we need to be with the Lord. And Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you, and I'm going to come back and take you with me, and you will be with me. Yes, we need to be with him in order to come back with him. But note here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please, verse number 16. And note the correlation to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 51 and 52. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. That sounds familiar. And the dead in Christ, those that are asleep, shall rise first, shall be changed. Then note verse 17, then we which are alive and remain at his coming shall be caught up, snatched away, together. It'll be a punctual meeting. Everybody will be on time. Some of you are constantly late to church. Now, if you are in Christ, this will be a punctual meeting. And you'll learn for the first time in your life what punctuality is all about. Amen. Amen. Anyway, let's get back to the sermon. Verse 17. Then we which are alive and remain, look at this, shall be caught up together with them, the rest of the saints, those that were in Christ that have died, they're raised first. So that's the privilege of stepping into eternity before the return of Christ. You'll have, you'll be part of the first resurrection. Then we which are alive at his coming, we will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What a wonderful source of comfort that is. We will ever be with the Lord. So when our Lord made reference to that coming in Matthew chapter 24, we will come back with him, because the Bible teaches us once we are caught up to be with him, nothing will ever separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. We will be with him. We will always be with our Lord. Wherefore, verse 18, comfort one another. Encourage one another with these words. Let's read on. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, this snatching away of God's people from the earth, will ignite what the Bible refers to as the day of the Lord. So cometh, note then verse 2, as a thief in the night, unexpectedly. Then look at verse number 3 closely. When they shall say, peace and safety. This is in reference to the tribulation period, a 7-year peace treaty with Israel. When they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail, labor pains, upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Look at verse 4. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. The darkness is here in reference to judgment. A period of time that will begin seemingly peaceful, and then there will be sudden destruction. And this is in reference to the tribulation period. But for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, for those of us that have received Jesus Christ as Savior, the Bible teaches us that we are not in darkness. We don't have to worry about being overtaken by a thief. Look at verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. So the Bible is drawing a contrast, and it's referring to the fact for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we are children of light. We are not children of darkness. We are not children of the night. We are children of light. We are children of the day. And we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. But for those that are children of darkness, those that are children of the night, they will be overtaken as a thief in the night, where there is seemingly peace, but then there will be sudden destruction, and this is in reference to the tribulation period. That will overtake you, my friend. If you are without Jesus Christ the Savior, there will come a day which God's people will be taken to glory. There will be an absentee of these people called born-again Christians from all over the world. And seemingly, this period of time will begin with peace, because there will be a 7-year peace treaty signed with the nation of Israel that Israel will gladly accept and rejoice in. And when you hear of that 7-year peace treaty, just start packing your bags spiritually. For those of us that are in Christ, we're going home. Amen. They're constantly talking about peace in Israel, are they not? But listen out for the 7 years. That's the key. And we are not children of darkness. We are not children of the night. We are children of light in Christ Jesus. We are children of the day. And this day will not overtake us, because we will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. Look at verse number 9, please. For God hath not appointed us a day of wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake, whether we're still alive at His return, or whether we sleep, that we have died in Christ Jesus physically, we should live together with Him. So please note then verse number 9, that the Bible teaches us that God has not appointed us. Who is the us in reference to? The children of light. The children of the day. Brethren, for those of us that have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, God has not appointed us a day of wrath, but of salvation. And Jesus said, I will come again, and I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And we will be with the Lord, and therefore we will qualify in being with the Lord to return with the Lord to conclude that 7 years of judgment known as the tribulation period, where God will pour out His wrath upon unbelief, primarily focusing upon Israel in order to bring Israel to that point of salvation. Now, as born-again Christians, we look for our Savior. We don't look for signs, we look for the Savior. And for those of us that are Christians here this morning, let me remind you, there is nothing preventing our Lord returning. There is nothing that has to take place prophetically, that would prevent Jesus Christ coming again and sounding that last trump and calling away the brethren. And that must take place before the tribulation period begins. And my friend this morning, if you are without Jesus Christ as Savior, I charge you, don't play games with God. Don't play games with God's Word. And don't have the attitude, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, you can choose to believe what you want. This is the Word of God. And so far, every piece of prophecy has come true to the very letter. 483 years to be exact. There are 7 years to come. And this judgment that Matthew chapter 24 makes reference to is in reference to a generation, a people that does not involve the church of Jesus Christ. For those of us that are in Christ, that will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with Him. Oh, my friend. The Bible says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. Please listen very carefully this morning. If you are without Jesus Christ as personal Savior, you will experience a period of judgment known as the tribulation period. Period of that will be overwhelmed with deception, seemingly peace at the beginning, deception, worldwide wars, famine, diseases, worldwide earthquakes, martyrdom, persecution, a period of chaos, a period of which the love of many will wax cold, the Bible teaches us. It will be a horrid period of time. And I warn you to flee. Flee the wrath of God to come by receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And with all of these events spelled out here in Matthew chapter 24, if we were to go into greater detail, we would go to Revelation, the book of Revelation, and study very carefully from chapter 6 all the way through to chapter 19, and there you will have in great detail the events that will take place during this 7-year period. For those of us that are in Christ, God has not appointed us a day of wrath. And I'm thankful for that. So until He comes to catch us away, our Lord Jesus exhorts us to be well prepared, to be watchful, and to be faithful stewards. And that's the parable there of the fig tree there in verse number 32. Where the Lord Jesus said, when you see the little green sprouts on the fig tree, we know that summer is near. So likewise, verse number 33, when you shall see all these things, know that it is near even at the door. Now within the Bible, the fig tree is a symbol of the nation of Israel. We find the vine branch, we find the olive tree, and we also find the fig tree. All of these are used in Scripture to reflect the nation of Israel, in picturing the nation of Israel. So we see that within the nation of Israel, we see the budding, so to speak. The evidence of summer is near. On May 14, 1948, Israel was recognized as a nation. The state of Israel was born on that day. And since that day, multitudes of Jews have been making their way back to Israel, fulfilling Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 3 to 5. And within 68 years, this little nation known as Israel has grown in prosperity, has grown in power. Israel today is one of the top 40 nations of the world. Now you might say, well, what's the big deal? The big deal is there are at least 265 recognized nations in the world. And within 68 years, it's up there amongst the top 40. It's a first world country. And there's only 8 million of them. There's only 8 million of them. 75% of that 8 million are Jewish. 20% of Arabs. And the rest is a mixed multitude. So within 68 years, 8 million people, a people despised by the majority of the rest of the world, are a superpower, and there's seemingly not much to them. But I'm telling you, God's on their side. Though they are in unbelief, though they are blinded to the fact that Jesus Christ is the Savior, Messiah of the world, they are still the apple of God's eye, and God has seen fit to bless them. And God tells us, when you see the buds appear on the fig tree, know that the time is drawing near. And as you and I study and observe what's taking place in Israel today, I'm telling you, my friend, the time is near. Even at the doors, as Jesus Christ said. The evidence is there within the nation. And not only within the nation of Israel, we see around the world, we see a foreshadowing of these events mentioned in Matthew chapter 24. We have deception everywhere. We have wars in our day. We have famine in our day. We have diseases in our day. We have earthquakes in our day. We have persecution in our day. So we see today the foreshadowing. A shadow is a reflection of that which is real. So we see within our day the shadows of the events that will take place with greater intensity during the tribulation period. My friend, the time of our Lord is near. Jesus Christ is coming again. Sin and rebellion today is escalating. The term one world is so common today, made possible through modern technology and communication means. As Daniel 12:4 makes reference to knowledge increasing, time travel, travel time between places has greatly decreased. All of these are signs of the end times. And Jesus Christ said, when you see the fig tree beginning to bud, you know that summer is near. And when you see the foreshadowing of these events, know that the time is near. Even at the doors, the Bible teaches us. With terrorism as a household word today, people want peace, people want security, people want safety as never before in human history. Oh yes, it'll be promised during the tribulation period. 7 years of peace at the hand of a world dictator. But that peace will be short-lived because it's peace apart from the Prince of Peace. My friend, the fig tree is starting to flower. And as Bible-believing Christians, we look for the Savior. We don't look for signs, we look for the Savior. Though the signs are around us, you've just got to look at the fig tree. You've just got to look at the fig tree budding. Israel is budding. And I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you were to ask me, Pastor, prove to me in one word that the Bible is true and there is a God in heaven, I would simply say Israel. Israel proves that there's a God in heaven and proves that there is, that the Word of God is true. So when you see the fig tree beginning to flower, beginning to bud, you know the time is near. And for those of us that are in Christ Jesus, we look for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 34 and 35, please. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word is true. And the Lord Jesus said, everything that I've spoken of will take place. Let's read on. But of the day and the hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And then in verse 37 it reads, but as the days of Noah were, look at this, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So in verses 32 to 36, the Lord Jesus uses the analogy of a fig tree that's beginning to bud as a mark, a sign that summer is near, the return of Christ is imminent. Now our Lord makes reference to as the days of Noah were. Look at verse 38. For in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. The Lord Jesus uses the analogy of a fig tree. Now our Lord makes reference to as the days of Noah, there will be swift and complete destruction. See, in Noah's day, people were living life normally. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. People were living life as if nothing will ever happen out of the ordinary. Nothing will ever happen out of the ordinary. She'll be right, mate. In the days of Noah, no different to 2016, she'll be right, mate. Don't stress, she'll be right. And this generation in the days of Noah ignored the warning of the preacher by the name of Noah, of whom the Bible teaches us in 2 Peter 2:5, a preacher of righteousness, who warned of pending judgment. But nobody took any notice, except for his own family. She'll be right, mate, was the cry. Well, what happened in Noah's day? At the appointed time, God led Noah and his family into the ark with kinds of every animal. Well, those outside the ark were continuing in their normality, so to speak. They were eating and drinking and marrying. And then they were suddenly taken by universal flood. And the waters covered the face of the earth, and all living things died across the face of the earth. See, they were not prepared for the flood. They refused to believe and obey the word of God. And so likewise, our Lord's return will be unexpected. And only those in the ark were saved. Only those in Jesus Christ will be saved from the tribulation period of judgment. My friend, this morning, are you inside the ark of God's salvation? Or are you still without? Eating and drinking, marrying. She'll be right, mate. No, she won't be right, mate. Jesus Christ is coming again. And just like the universal flood came unexpectedly, so likewise God's judgment will fall upon the earth when we least expect it. Judgment will surprisingly overtake those outside of God's ark of salvation. See, disaster always strikes without warning. That's why it's a disaster. Is that right? Disasters happen. Well, what does that mean? Something unexpected. Something unpleasant. That will be the tribulation period. And following that, look at verses 40 and 41. Then shall two be in the field. The one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill. The one shall be taken, the other left. This is not in reference to the rapture. That's out of context. This is in reference to the suddenness of judgment. The context is the flood being taken over suddenly with destruction. And God is saying, one will be taken in judgment. One will die during the tribulation. And another will survive. Though many will be taken in judgment during the tribulation period, there will be those that will survive this period of time. But they will be judged. There will be those that will survive the tribulation period. But then they will be judged. And Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46, gives us the details of those that survived the tribulation period. And then our Lord went on to say in verse 42, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. My friend, this morning, I'd like to challenge you. Prepare to meet thy God. For it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. And as we consider these events that will take place imminently with the return of Christ, may God find us faithful as His people. May God find us focused upon the things of God. May God find us diligent in preaching the gospel to every creature. Because for those without Christ, you know what the Bible teaches. You know the Bible teaches that as a Christian we have nothing to worry about. We will be taken from the earth. But what about those without Christ? They'll remain behind and probably the majority will believe a lie. They'll believe the Antichrist. And they'll be deceived and ultimately find themselves in hell. Without Christ. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord doth come. My friend, Jesus Christ is coming again. And if Christ was to return by midday, I don't know about you, I'm going up. But just in case, you turn around, all of a sudden all these people are missing. Will you please take note of what pastor preached that morning? Because the Word of God will be fulfilled. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. God's word is true. It's been fulfilled to the letter to date. Why would we doubt that the rest of Bible prophecy would not be fulfilled? So Christian, let's be faithful. Jesus Christ is coming again. Some of us as God's people here this morning, you lack faithfulness. And you will be ashamed at His coming. I challenge you to set your heart right with God this morning. And knowing that Christ could come back even this very day, commit your whole life to Him. You'll have no regrets. But my friend, if you're here without Christ, please, please,
receive the Lord. Otherwise, you're going to go through a period of judgment. One shall be taken, the other one left behind. The suddenness that destroyed a living generation in the days of Noah is coming soon. The fig tree is starting to blossom. Just read the news. It's blossoming. Flowers are on the fig tree. Christ is coming again. Are you ready? You can be by simply receiving Him as Savior. Let's bow for prayer.